This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 622.
Today, Robert smacks us across the face with an interesting question. He asks,
"So, slapstick, I'm listening to a debate over reactions to someone falling, laughing, or concern, stemming from a discussion of Home Alone. Can you explore slapstick in writing? Is it always likely to elicit strong responses? Can the concern reaction be managed?"
Yes, slapstick does work in writing. Robert Asprin has done a lot of this in his Fool's Company series to great effect. It's not the only kind of comedy in play, but he does a great slapstick in the Fool's Company series. It's P-H-U-L-E. There's Fool's Company, A Fool and His Money, a bunch. It's about a rich kid who basically enlists in the military and buys a unit. He gets a unit of misfits and turns them into this high-level fighting force that then buys an amusement park, for reasons which remain underexplored, because it's not really important to the plot. But they are hilarious. Piers Anthony does some of this to great effect in the Xanth series. It's a minor species of the humor in the Xanth series, but it is pretty damn funny. Especially in, Golem in the Gears, I think, had a lot of slapstick in it. Because there's a lot of humor based on the fact that the Golem is, 3 inches tall. He's like a Tom Thumb character. Grundy, I think his name was. Terry Pratchett has done some great slapstick. There's slapstick comedy all through the Harry Potter books, and done really well, too. The rules for slapstick on paper are the same as they are on screen. You're using over-the-top violence to elicit a pain response in the audience, which they react to by helpless laughter. Home Alone is fantastic. Of course, with slapstick in a book, as with slapstick in a film, the most important thing is the reaction shot. Both the reaction of the perpetrator and the reaction of the victim. And the victim is not necessarily the person upon whom the violence is being done. I can't remember what book it was, but I remember a hilarious slapstick routine involving cannibalism in some book that I read, where the victim was, it wasn't slapstick. Oh well, it's still instructive. A hilarious routine in a book I read where the victim was a cop. It was Fried Green Tomatoes. The comedy involved the cop who's investigating a murder eating the victim. The murderer had cooked the victim and served him up at a barbecue and served all the evidence to the cop who ate it.
That sounds like a Roald Dahl short story.
Maybe I ran into it in Roald Dahl first or second.
Roald Dahl short story, I can't remember the title, but a woman murders her husband, chops him up, roasts him, and feeds them to the cop.
It was called Long Pig, I think, or something.
No, that was a different one.
It was a different one?
Cannibalism shows up a couple of times in his stuff.
Roald Dahl actually is a good one, because Roald Dahl's, it's really grotesque slapstick, but it's hilarious. Roald Dahl's very dark slapstick is very instructive.
And when we're talking about Roald Dahl, we're talking about his adult short stories.
Yeah, not his children's books.
Which are kind of, I believe he wrote for Twilight Zone and other fiction
imagine
anthologies.
Imagine Terry Gilliam writing for an X-rated Twilight Zone, and you get the idea.
Yeah, that about covers it, yeah.
Roald Dahl is fantastic, because the physical humor in his stories, the slapstick, the cannibalism, the sexual humor, it's all intensely physical, which is what you need to pull off slapstick in literature. And when you're writing fiction, it's very tempting to skip over the physical stuff because you've got access to all the mental stuff, and mental stuff is a lot of fun, too. So it brings us to number two in the rules of slapstick on paper being the same as they are on film. The mechanism of action is really important. It's not funny to see someone slip. It is really funny to see the Micro Machines on the floor and then the determination of the bad guy about to launch toward the good guy, and then the good guy understanding that the bad guy is about to walk across the micro machines and not know it and fall down, and grinning evilly, and then turning around and running in order to lure the bad guy across the micro machines, and then we see the bad guy getting his blood up and running across the floor, and then we see him slip, and then he falls, then it's funny. Otherwise, it's just a fall. It's the suspense and the build and paying it off in a way that exceeds the expectations that you've just built up to an insane level. Part of that is the predictability of slapstick. There are no surprises in slapstick. No, that's not quite true. For slapstick to work, the surprises must be infrequent. When they come, they have to really gin things up. And I'll use Home Alone as another example. As Marv's going through the basement, we've seen everything that's been set up, but we're not remembering it all. And the thing we remember least is that Kevin has wired the sink with electricity. He's wired it to the mains. But we see Marv goes up the stairs, he gets his foot impaled on the nail. He goes down into the basement, he's looking for another way up, he tries to turn on the light, he pulls on the cord, he looks up, and the iron comes down the laundry chute and hits him in the face. And that knocks him over into some, I hope I'm remembering the sequence of events correct, knocks him over into some glue, and he gets glue all over his face and stuck with fly tape and all sorts of stuff. And he pulls it off, and he is like itching and burning, and he's desperate for water and whatnot. And he goes and he puts his hands on the faucets to turn them on. He completes the circuit, and he starts getting electrocuted. All of that's predictable. We were waiting to see the sequence in which it came out, but it's all completely predictable, and it's hilarious as all hell, because you're wondering which part's coming next, and as soon as you see it, you know what's going to happen. The surprise comes in, and there's a cutaway from Marv to the sink, where you see the mains sparking, and then it cuts back to him, and he's a smoking, roasting skeleton holding on, and then it cuts away again, and he's back to normal. And that little skeleton shot, that's the surprise, and the only surprise in the whole scene. And it's just that little bit of gasoline on the fire that sends you over the top to, oh my God, I can't handle it. I can't even breathe anymore. I'm laughing so hard. There's almost no surprises in slapstick, but the surprises that are there are the flourish at the end. And that flourish pushes it over the top. And it's true, slapstick has to be entirely predictable because it works on suspense. What else can we learn about slapstick? Of course, in slapstick, cartoon logic applies. Violence is about emotion and suffering, not about gore and death. Not that you can't do gore and death, like, for example, the Black Knight scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You can do gore and death and make it hilarious, but there's a disproportionality that in slapstick that makes it work. You'll see this in all the Bugs Bunny cartoons. All of those are basically slapstick routines. In fact, all of the Roadrunner cartoons are simply slapstick routines. There's not a surprise in the lot in all of the Roadrunner cartoons, and yet they're absolutely hilarious. And each joke follows the same construction. You see the idea. You see the construction of the machine. You see how it's going to work. You see him lay the bait out. You see the machine go wrong in the most predictable kind of way. Even if it breaks all the logic of the universe, it goes wrong in the most predictable kind of way, and it's bloody hilarious. Those slapstick routines, they tell you everything. If I was going somewhere. It's the disproportionality. The disproportionality is everything. Wile E. Coyote sets 1,000 kilotons of TNT to blow up the Roadrunner. He hits the plunger from behind the cliff, and it's the plunger that blows up in his face. Marv gets electrocuted, and the result of him being electrocuted to death is he's more annoyed at the kid and wants to hurt him. The Black Knight gets his arms and legs cut off. He's bleeding everywhere, and he's still sitting there on the ground saying, "You yellow bastard, come back here, I'll bite your legs off." That extreme disproportionality is what makes slapstick funny. The reactions of the characters are nothing like they would be in real life. They're stylized and emotional in a way that is completely ridiculous, and that disproportionality makes it work. So you can do all of that same stuff in fiction. The trick is to keep the focus on the physical, your reaction shots, the mechanics of what's going on. If you get too far into the inner mental life of the characters, If you get down below the initial strategic layer and the initial reactive layer, it's not going to be slapstick anymore. You can still make it funny, but it's going to be like deep character slapstick. It's going to be drama of some kind. It's not going to be slapstick. I hope that helps, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.